talking to you today about be strong and do exploits. We are commanded not to be foolish, but understanding and discerning. As I just said, you can discern when the devil's up to no good, and you can discern when God is directing your path, and God wants us to be strong and do exploits in these last days. That is a prophecy in Daniel. In the last days, his people will rise up and do great exploits. Today, a lot of Christians are living in fear, hiding out in the basement. Oh, my God, what's happening? Let me tell you, this is, in case you haven't figured it out, this is the last generation passing through. These are the last days. And we need to, instead of being afraid, to rise up and do great exploits and watch God do great things in our businesses, in our personal lives, in our ministry, and in everything we put our hands to. The wisest thing we can do is live pleasing to God. That's number one. Live as children of light. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity. Don't be flirting around at work. Can you say amen? If you're single, you might do a little godly flirting. But if you're married, no flirting. Okay. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. I was in a restaurant many years ago. A very pretty lady that I knew came up and sat down at my table. I was by myself. I jumped straight up, and I pointed to her, and I said, "You cannot sit there." If someone saw us sitting together, they would think the wrong thing. And she got mad. She didn't like it, but I made her leave. You can't even have a hint. Somebody say something. Amen. That's a good. So be it. Anyway, you just got to be sure you live above reproach as far as possible. Verse 4, nor should there be obscenity. Some Christians just don't talk right. I'm embarrassed to hear some of them talk. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, jokes that's off color, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. If you want to be doing, saying something, start thanking God. Okay. And thank God in front of people how you're blessed and the great things he's doing for you. We need to sanctify our mouths by the Holy Spirit, mortify the deeds of the tongue. Verse 5, for this you can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That's God's standard, not mine. I'm trying to measure up to it, but this is God's standard. Let no one deceive you. There's a lot of Christians deceived. Well, that sounds good to me. Well, it doesn't matter if it sounds good. Do not be deceived. And how do I not be deceived? You check it out by the word of God yourself. Amen. You don't run around and ask every preacher in town what he thinks. Get in the word of God and find out what God thinks. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath is coming on those who are disobedient. If we are going to do great exploits, we must clean up our act by the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit. The danger is it's just making you up your mind that you're going to live differently. And that's probably not going to work. Because it says mortify the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit. You pray until God delivers you. Can you say amen? Or get in a good service or both and believe God to set you free. You see, you can see very plainly this is what God requires. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, it says, the people that do know their God, people who really, truly know God, not people who are faking it, people halfway committed, hadn't made up their mind yet, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And that's talking about in the last days. Read it for yourself. But we who know God must live and walk worthy if we expect God to use us to do great exploits. I watched over the years Christians who compromise on things. They somehow justify different things, and it seems like they never have true victory in their lives. And we must quit justifying the things we do and ask the Holy Spirit to deliver us, not condemn ourselves and beat ourselves up if we're in a struggle, but believe God that we're going to win the struggle. Amen. Colossians 1:9, be filled with the knowledge of His will. I mean, if you can pray through until you know what's right and wrong. You can pray until you know the direction God wants you to take. You can pray and seek God until you know which church you're supposed to be in, and you get in there and stay there no matter what happens. The preacher gets in a hurry, walks by you and doesn't speak. You stay there anyway. Because God puts you there. And I don't know of anybody that's left because I didn't speak to him, but, it could happen. Except I don't think God's going to let it happen. Colossians 1:9, be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul says, I pray, was it Paul? One of the apostles said, I pray the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that you be granted a spirit of wisdom and revelation. A spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's the Holy Spirit. And so if you're really seeking God, and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, He will fill you with the wisdom of God so the decisions you make will be proper, be good. Be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you... Are these scriptures pretty good? Amen. You may want to meditate on them. I don't use these very often. Verse 10, or at least most of them. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. When you're walking by the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, you're filled with the knowledge of His will, you're going to walk in the right direction. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And I know there's Christians... over the years, well, I've been a Christian for 30 years, 40 years, but what do you know? Have you ever read the Bible? Well, I went to a church where this guy preached the Word of God. Well, did you read it yourself? Now, look, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Hopefully, if you come to this church, you're increasing a little bit every Sunday. In the knowledge of, well, what's the knowledge of God? His Word. And then if you need to know something, he'll speak into your life. And everything is not written in the Word of God, but you can pray until you know what God's will is. It's not written in the Word of God, Barry and Dottie go to Knoxville and start a church. Yay. But as we prayed and sought God, He gave us a word on it. And the word of knowledge is, go to Knoxville and start a church. And that was 43 years ago, and this is the church. Many Christians do not see a need to grow and increase in the knowledge of God, but it is totally necessary to have a thorough knowledge of God, His Word, and His power. How are you going to walk in the power of God if you don't even know anything about how to walk in the power of God? And you can have the power of God in your life if you will be a doer of the Word. If you'll pray, meditate on God's Word, do a little fasting, seek His face. Get into a good church. You know, the Word says meditate in His Word day and night. How many of us are really doing that? We need the knowledge of God, and then we need to meditate on it and believe Him to help us to do what we know we need to do. It is totally necessary to have a thorough knowledge of God, His Word, and His power. And verse 11 says, strengthened with all power. You don't have to be a wimp. You can walk in great authority and great power. Strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. I go into place, I expect to be respected. I expect to have favor. When I'm looking for a parking space, I expect to have favor. And I just about always do. I'm normally parked right up front. So what is that? Well, God can give you wisdom and direction and favor. and even help you find a parking space if you need to. Well, how lazy are you? Well, I run and work out hard every week, about 3 or 4 times a week, and so I'm not afraid of a long walk. But if I'm in a hurry and going to the hospital or trying to get something done quickly, it saves time if I got a good parking space. Well, that's just foolish. Well, you go ahead and think what you want to think, and I'll keep getting a good parking place. We must be strengthened with His power by growing in the knowledge of God and His Word. And some of these scriptures here, you need to be writing them down. Okay. And memorize some of them. Ephesians 5:7, therefore do not be partakers with them. Do not be partakers of those people who are not living the way they should and live ungodly, careless lives. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. With them meaning the disobedient. Those who are not doing what the Lord says to do. Be loving, be friendly, and kind, but do not get involved with what they're doing. I can love anyone, be kind to anyone, help anyone, bless anyone without becoming a partner with them in the evil things they're doing. Verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You need to think of yourself like that. That I am light to this world. God has raised me up to be a light. I'm important. I'm the most important thing in my little world because I'm the light. You see, it says live as children of light. If you are a child of God, you need to live like it. Okay. Verse 9, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Verse 10, and find out what pleases the Lord. How many want to know what pleases the Lord? Well, I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what you're not trying to please the preacher unless you're dumb. Yay. Your goal is to please Jesus Christ. What does He want? Verse 10, is this good? If it's not, God messed up because this is God's word. This is God's word. Verse 10, and find out what pleases the Lord. If you want to do great exploits in life, you got to please the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Expose the fruitless deeds of darkness. Look at that, fruitless deeds. Things that's not producing anything, you probably need to get rid of it. Anything good? Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Things that the devil wants you to do will not produce anything good in your life. Drugs will not produce anything good in your life unless the doctor says you need it. I expected a lot of amens, but I'll move on. And then it says, not only have nothing to do with fruitless deeds, but then it says expose them. And in my preaching, I expose all kind of things. And some people, of the world especially, secular humans, don't like it. But that's our job as Christians. Will you Christians go and shut up? No. Part of our faith is that we are witnesses to Jesus Christ and to everything He said. And that's why these evil, demonized Marxists, secular humanists, say we want freedom from religion, which means they want to shut us up so we can't be the light, so we can't say this is sin, this is wrong, this is evil. They want to shut us up, and the only way they can do that is shoot us, remove us from society. And that's what communism tries to do. When a nation goes communist, the first thing they try to do is get rid of the light. God's people. And if they don't execute all them, they do kill a lot of them. And, of course, they kill a lot of people. But they certainly want to shut up the Christians and put them in a position where they can't be a witness to Jesus Christ and to His Word. This says, find out what pleases the Lord. We are not to participate in deeds of darkness, but to please the Lord. We should not be doing things that is not fruitful in some way. Exercise. Some people think exercise is a waste of time. Recreation is a waste of time. Some of those things are very important for your health and well-being. That's not a waste of time. But other things are things we get involved in. Godly entertainment can produce benefits. Ungodly entertainment can produce problems. But disobedience is what really produces failure. Find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what He wants you to do and be doing it. And then He'll start working your life to do great things and to do exploits in the name of Jesus. You see, we must be careful how we live. Romans 13:13. Let us live and conduct ourselves honorably and becomingly, as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in immorality and debauchery, not in quarreling and jealousy. How many Christians are caught up in quarreling and jealousy? You can't even, some churches, you can't even tell them from ungodly people because they're fighting all the time. Probably over half the church's doctrine started out of a fight. Yeah, a big part of them, at least. To do great exploits, we must conduct ourselves honorably, becomingly. The Bible says, live above reproach. Colossians 2:8. The preacher's not easy. I didn't say it was easy, but that should be our goal. Yeah, should be our goal. You have a goal. The devil wants to condemn you if you don't reach it. You've got to tell him where to go. It's better to have a goal and not reach it than not to have a goal. Colossians 2:8, see to it that no one carries you off as spoil or makes you yourselves captive by the so-called philosophy and intellectualism and vain deceit, following human tradition, but crude notions of following the rudimentary and elementary teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ the Messiah. You see, we can't get caught up in some crazy new doctrine. Some people are looking for something new. Oh, we want to hear fresh new message. I don't know what they mean by that, but what a lot of people do, they wind up chasing things that is totally a heresy. They wind up in trouble and sometimes lose their family, lose their home, lose their job. This says we're not to be deceived. And it says, see to it that no one carries you off as spoil or makes yourselves captive to the so-called philosophy, intellectualism, and vain deceits. When somebody comes up with a big new idea, well, this is just really the best thing, the newest thing, you need to get your Bible out and check it out. This is where a lot of Christians really mess up. Over the years, we had a lot of born-again believers, spirit-filled, God blessing them left and right. They get caught up in some strange doctrine, and they're gone. And a lot of times you hear about how they destroyed their lives. You be careful who you listen to. And be careful what books you read. As a rule, I just don't read preacher's books. I read commentaries and books like that to help me learn. But some of these preachers have crazy ideas. Aren't you glad I never have a crazy idea? Now, if I write a book, you can read it. But now, right now, I'm on track to have on my tombstone, "Here lies a good book." If God wants me to write a book, let me pray. I'll get a hurry up and get it done. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I guess y'all don't want that book. Okay. But you see, this is what evolution is. Humanism, the new age, situation ethics, radical feminism, radical homosexual philosophies. You see, all of these things are deceptions, and the world tries to make it sound so good, but you better know what you're talking about. You better know what you're getting into, and you better check it out with the Word of God. How many can read the Bible and know how many sexes there are? Jesus himself said, God created man, male and female created he them. There is no such thing as transgender. And said, here I go again, preaching the truth. There is no transgender. There is no transgender women in women's sports. It's men in women's sports. Can't chase that. I know it's true, but I got to let that lay right there. Okay. But have you know, if you want to know the truth, it's right there in the Bible. And if that don't work for you, get you a biology book. I studied biology a long time ago, but biology doesn't change. Two sexes. Anybody tries to tell you any difference, you tell them that they need to get them a good biology book. And I'm not against transgender people. I'm for getting them help, but not by cutting body parts off. It's psychiatrists always said it's a mental condition, and we need to help them with their mental conditions instead of cutting body parts off. Amen. Following human tradition, just crude notions, following the rudimentary and elementary teachings of the universe, and that's what's going on. Christians are buying into a lot of this stuff and disciplining your children. All the secular humans tell you exactly how to discipline your children. And look at the youth on some of these college campuses. They have absolutely no discipline. Wonder why? Because their parents have been trained not to discipline them. Christians need to go by the word of God. And not by... did I lose y'all? Y'all still here? Okay. I'm just reading the Bible to you. If you want to have a successful life, you go by the word of God. Just crude notions, following the rudimentary and elementary teachings of the universe, and disregarding the teachings of Christ, disregarding the teachings of the Bible. What does the Bible say about disciplining your children? Verse 9, for in him the whole fullness of the deity and the Godhead continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression to the divine nature. You see, the fullness of the Godhead in all power and authority and all wisdom dwells in Jesus Christ. And the next question is, where does he dwell? In us. All the power we'll ever need is in us. And it says, I pray the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ that he grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light so you may know and understand the immeasurable greatness of his power in and for us who believe. There's great and mighty power in you to great exploits, if you live pleasing to him, not pleasing to the preacher, pleasing to him. I'm preaching good. You need to work on your amen. I'm sure the people watching my live stream and listening to radio are amening, so I'll just go with that fantasy. And he dwells in us. You see, it is foolish to pay no attention to him and his teachings. Pay attention to Jesus Christ and not all this junk in our humanistic world, secular humanistic world. To do great exploits, we must truly believe that the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus Christ and he dwells in us. I've got power in me, buddy. How about you? I can change things. I can do exploits. And so can Alice. She's back there teaching her class right now. And we've had a lot of miracles with the weather through the summer. All these storms, and thank God, spared us and blessed us. And the day that tornado went right down through here, I was in my house when that storm really hit. And I rebuked the devil, and I told him specifically, you leave this house alone, you leave my other house alone, you protect Dottie's house, protect my house, okay, and protect our people and their houses, protect the church. That tornado went right down Middlebrook. You drove down, Bob Gray. And I drove down through there the other day, and they got tree limbs and pieces of tree trunk stacked all over the place. I mean, it just wrecked that whole place. Came right by here, tore the roof off of Weigel's gas pumps, went right down Middlebrook, closed Middlebrook with trees, went right by here and didn't do us any harm. There was no rotten sign out front that needed to be taken down, and it took it down. That's all. And I rebuked that, and I told that thing where to go. And I don't think any of our people had. You think you got that kind of power? I do. I don't think it. I know I do. And it's time you begin to realize that. When we had our last back to school, Burger Bash, whatever they call it. There's every kind of storm predicted. I mean, they were saying basically there are storms everywhere. So I said, Lord, I'm trusting you that you take care of this, because everything's planned. And I'm getting ready to come out to preach that night. And Alice is out there rebuking the storms. Okay. And me and John and others, and John Uchai and others. And I'm back there, and Dale was telling me, you're not going to make it this time. You're going to get kids and those inflatable, and the storm is going to come in by unexpectedly, and you're going to have to drive to North Carolina to get them. I said, no, devil, you're a liar. Amen. You're not putting that fear on me. Amen. And you're talking about me and the devil, we had war right behind that door. Y'all pay attention. You got to know you have authority, and you got to stand on it. You can't let him talk you out of it. He'll tell you every reason you can't do it. He'll tell you every reason you're going to fail. You have to tell him every reason you're going to make it, and that is one word, two words, Jesus Christ. He's with me. He's going with me through the fire, and he's going to help me do this. The devil didn't tell me to in this church to have that for the kids and then have the devil blow it away. You think God's confused? I don't think so. We rebuked that. We rebuked those things, and it rained just a little, and just enough so they could take towels and dry it off. And what it did, it dropped the temperature from about 90 down to about 10, 15 degrees. It felt like air conditioning. And we had one of the best nights we've ever had. Do you really believe you stopped those storms? I believe God stopped them. As a result of me and Alice and many of you rebuking them. Well, I don't believe that. Well, let the devil blow your house away. That's your business. But I'm not going to do that. And then, the school's out. I'm not even halfway through my notes, but who cares? You don't care, do you? Just so I come up with something good. And this is good. This, what we call that? The school's out fun night or something. And it looked good. And then here come a storm straight at us. And we didn't know it, but the guy in the ice cream truck, his wife lived right back where the storm was hitting. And she called him and she said, there's a horrible storm coming your way. And it's actually hitting our house with hail. And you need to get that truck and get out of there. And I said, Alice, you pointed that thing and rebuke it. I'm going to agree with you. She pointed her finger at that thing and said, I command you in the name of Jesus to go around. And that thing, it just started going around very slow. I just looked at it and said, I don't think it's moving. I said, oh, it's moving. It's slow, but it's moving. How many know if it's moving, who cares if it's slow? Yeah. See, the devil wants to tell you, well, it's not going to move. Well, it is. Amen. And that thing just went right around, and we went right on with our party. You can do great exploits. You can stop the devil and shut him down. That's right. Well, I don't know if you're buying that or not. Ephesians chapter 8, verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposely and worthily and accurately. Not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. How many know Christians need to live like they got a brain? Verse 16, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. We must not miss our opportunities. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. We can pray and fast and meditate on God's word until we discern the purpose of God in every manner and then believe him to give us the anointing and the power to carry it out. To do great exploits, we must live purposely and worthily and accurately, not making foolish, silly, unwise decisions. Make sure we know what we're doing before we do it. And you can. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. That's one reason God protected us. We had those parties out there for our families and children. It's because God told us to do it. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. You see, this is a war. You need to get that in you. This sounds like a soldier in a foxhole. Be sober, be vigilant, watchful, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, or seeking whom he may blow away with a storm. You see, be on guard. We live in a very dangerous violent generation, an evil day. We be careful who you listen to. I mean, you need to be careful what preacher you listen to. Amen. They can destroy your faith like that. Ephesians 8:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Why do so many Christians really lose the battle and wind up in drugs and alcohol and all kind of failure and defeat? It's because they do not realize it's more than flesh and blood. You're not just dealing with your flesh and blood. You're dealing with demons and devils that's working on you. Well, I don't believe that. Well, what else in the Word of God do you not believe? Let's believe the Word of God. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, our own flesh and blood, and other flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the war we're in. And the devil wants to destroy your health. He wants to destroy your family, destroy your job, wreck you in every way. And I'm not saying you're never going to be hit with a storm. I mean, the devil's going to hit. Well, if you live in this world, you're going to take some licks. You just have to learn how to deal with it and take authority over the devil. And if a storm hits your house, don't sit there and feel guilty. Hey, just ask God to show you how to recover and come out of it. Amen. There are demons and devils working day and night to deceive us. There's demons and devils right now working on some of us to tell us we're not worthy because we did something wrong, or because we had an accident, or because a storm hit us, or something. Well, you're not very God. See, he's a deceiver. He's an accuser. Don't let him get away with anything. Amen. I've had some really hard licks. Had a daughter born with a major heart condition. I mean, you're going to take some licks, but you don't have to sit down and cry and give up. Live purposely and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless. Is this doing anybody any good? Yes. To do great exploits, we must be on guard against our enemy. You have a real enemy, and we must use our authority to defeat him. I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You'd have set back and let the devil destroy your family through strife and anger and rebellion or whatever. You can stand against him and take your authority and tell him to get out. Amen. God wants us to clearly understand and discern his will and then do it. Ephesians 5:16, making the very most of the time. I read this a minute ago, but a little different light here. Making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. Days are not evil, but we live in a generation of evil, rebellious, disobedient people. That's what he's talking about. And every way we turn is people trying to direct us in the wrong direction or just flat out harm us. To do great exploits, we must pray until we recognize God's given opportunities and pray until we have the ability and wisdom to take advantage of them, not get discouraged because evil is everywhere, but realize with God we can still be the most successful people in the country. Amen. Don't miss your opportunity. Pray until you know. And if you have a job opportunity, don't just jump on it. Pray until you know it's God. Ephesians 5:17, therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish. I think that's one of the best scriptures in the Bible, and that is the Amplified Bible, and it really lays it out. The Amplified Bible is translated by a lady. If you want something done right, get a lady. Somebody say, amen. Amen. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. A lot of Christians walking around, you know, in the dark, and they just fall off a cliff and fall into this problem and that problem. The Bible says don't do that. Pray until you know something. And don't call the preacher and ask him what he thinks. Well, you can get his advice, but his advice is not as good as God's advice. Don't miss your opportunities. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish. but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. Acts 28:26. Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will ever be seeing, but never perceiving. That's where a big part of this generation is. You can teach and preach, they just don't get it. This is our generation. The more that they're educated, it seems the crazier they become. It is more than understanding with the head. It is perceiving and knowing in the heart. Amen. I quit operating out of here. Operate out of here. I mean, I need to know things. Can you say amen? I study. I work hard. But the things that really work, God just drops it from here to here and you know. Don and I didn't come start this church because we thought it was a good idea. We thought it was a terrible idea. We came because he dropped it in our heart. To do great exploits, we must not be foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Ephesians 1:17, for I always pray. It's Paul, Ephesians 1:17. My mind went blank a minute ago, and I couldn't remember where it was, but I got it written down here. Ephesians 1:17, for I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And he was talking about the Ephesians, which is a church, which is people just like you. He says, I'm praying that God will give every one of you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The spirit of wisdom and revelation is the Holy Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit, but he can become a spirit of wisdom and revelation to you if you'll ask him. Amen. Give me wisdom in how to deal with this kid. Give me wisdom in how to deal with this nut at work. Give me wisdom how to deal with that nutty pastor, whatever. For I always pray to the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, listen, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and a deep and intimate knowledge of him by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones, verse 19, and also that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable, also and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated by the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. He says, I want you to know the power of God is in you, and it's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And if he raised him from the dead, he surely can heal you. Amen. You like the word of God? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. You see, to do great exploits, we need Holy Spirit revelation. Acts chapter 16, verse 6, Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept. Don't you see how the Holy Spirit works? Sometimes he doesn't talk to you. Sometimes he works in here, and you have a caution. Don't go this way. Don't go that way. Don't go this way. Go this way. Amen. Now look. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit stopping them from preaching in a certain area? Yeah, because he didn't want them there. So they had a check in their spirit. Something just stopped them. And they say it's the Holy Spirit. Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia, verse 7, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Sometimes I'm going this direction, I feel a check. When you feel that check, it's time to put the brakes on. Amen. And pray until you know you've heard from God. And that's what they're doing here. They passed through Mysia and went down to Troas. Is this helping anybody? Three people, okay, it's worth it. Verse 9, during the night, Paul had a vision. See, they went through all this, and then in the middle of the night, Paul had a vision. God showed him what to do. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. after the Holy Spirit stopped them from going in different directions, and then Paul had a vision of them preaching in Macedonia, they concluded, well, this is God's will, and they went. Amen. That's the way God works in our lives. Amen. So you don't have to live thoughtless and foolish. You can know and discern what God wants by the Holy Spirit. Frankly, I don't know what the Holy Spirit wants for each of you, but the Holy Spirit does. I know the plans they have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to bless you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. Anybody believe that? And then, Psalm, we got to get a different clock. This one, I don't like this one. It goes too fast. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. This sums up everything I've been saying. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Be careful who you listen to. Nor stand in the way of sinners. Don't be living and acting like sinners. Amen. Nor sitting in the seat of the scornful. Don't always have something bad to say about other people. Yes. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. What have I been saying? Meditate in the word of God. Be a doer of the word. Right? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. You see, if we do this, we will receive wisdom and revelation from the Lord, and we'll know what to do. Yeah. Or he'll at least direct us from here. Verse 3, and he shall, if you meditate in the word day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. When you meditate in the word day and night and do it, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let's all stand.